Hey guys, I'm Eric McLean.
And I'm Kelly Gramlich. It's time to talk some ACC sports.
Let's go!
Happy Thursday, everyone, and welcome into the Gramlich and McLean podcast brought to you by Traeger Grills. Eric McLean, this pod is about to be epic. If you are hearing me talking right now, you're in for a treat. Is that correct, Eric McLean?
110% correct. Luke May joins the podcast. It was so much fun just hearing about his time over in Italy. He reflected on some recruiting stuff. We talked about his brother coming to UNC. I can't wait for you guys to hear it. But before we jump into the interview and the introduction, I have to tell you guys about our great friends over at Traeger Grill. Listen, guys, nothing beats the taste of food cooked over wood. It's a fact. Traeger Grills has revolutionized outdoor cooking, and it starts by using their controlled convection heating system. It literally is so perfect, you can cook anything on it. And it's very simple to use. I just set the temperature on my app, let the Traeger do its thing, and it does all the hard work. And the best part about it is things never get too smoky, they never get too dry, they never get too charred, like things did with my old gas grill. So whatever I'm grilling, it always comes out perfect, and it makes me feel like a barbecue pro anytime I fire up my A85 Ironwood. Find your local Traeger dealer today by visiting TraegerGrills.com/ACC. And once you've browsed around their site and you've selected your pellet grill of your dreams, use our code ACCSports for free shipping on your entire order.
Excellent, Eric McLean. Excellent. I bet that's one thing. We asked Luke about what he misses most from America. I bet he misses like grilling out.
So you guys will see, you'll see what he says. But if he ever has the opportunity, the privilege to come by the McLean residence and get to taste what comes off the Traeger grill, that would now be his number one answer. He just hasn't experienced it. He doesn't know.
If he was able to taste some of the stuff you grill, he'd probably never leave the country again.
That's right. That's
he right. might move into your house. All right. Speaking of Luke May, we're having Luke May on the pod, and we're super excited about this, guys. It's coming up in just a second. Luke May is a Tar Heel legend who played for the men's basketball team from 2015 through 2019. He played a huge role in North Carolina's 2017 national championship, hitting the game-winning shot versus Kentucky to send North Carolina to the Final Four. He was a first-team All-ACC selection in 2019, was named the ACC's Most Improved Player in 2018, and was a third-team All-American that season as well. He was a true four-year guy who went from averaging just 1.2 points per game as a freshman to 16.9 as a junior and 14.9 as a senior.
Listen, after UNC, Luke played in the G League and now plays professionally overseas in Italy. He recently earned Euro Cup MVP of the Week honors. He's one of those college basketball players that you can't forget. So many big plays, the huge shot against Kentucky, and he comes from a UNC family. His father, Mark May, was a quarterback on UNC's team from 84 to 87, and now his brother, Drake, will be a soon-to-be star at North Carolina. Drake May, who was a four-star, five-star prospect, depending where you look, who just recently enrolled at UNC.
He breaks down Drake's game, which is really fun. So without further ado, Luke May, a college basketball legend, joins the pod. Let's go.
This week's guest is brought to you by Traeger Grills. Welcome to the Traegerhood.
Okay, Luke, welcome to the pod. First and foremost, we know you're over in Italy. You've got to tell us, what is it like playing overseas in Italy, but also during a pandemic? Like, this has to be crazy.
Yeah, it's been wild. It's been, it's been life-changing for sure. Like, I'm really strong family guy. Three younger brothers who are my best friends. My mom and dad are really supportive. And like, I made this decision last July just because I was a little bit unknown about like the NBA and the G League and just kind of what kind of that entailed. And I wanted to play basketball and I wanted to improve because I am young and because I do have a lot of career ahead of me, hopefully, as long as my body, hopefully, good Lord willing, stays healthy. But I wanted to play. I wanted to get better. And I felt like entertaining the European option for maybe 1 year and kind of see how it goes would be great. And kind of with the pandemic, it'd be a good opportunity for me to kind of just get out, and like there's not a ton happening at home anyway. Like my brother didn't even have a football season for high school his senior year, and my other brother just graduated from Florida. So like there just wasn't a lot of action going on at home. So it was a good year to do it. But man, it's really tested me a lot, being by myself, being in a foreign country, not knowing the language, nobody like familiar to me. And just like I said, being a family guy, it's just really been a lot harder, and a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. I mean, and then also like 3 weeks in, I get injured, and like I've never really been injured before. Like I missed 4 games in college, and that was it. And I was very fortunate, but I missed a month, the beginning of the year. I missed the first 2 games of the regular season, and then I got injured again and missed another month, like midway through the season. So it's just like tested me a lot, but I keep telling my parents and people who ask, like when I was injured, like I was telling people, like, I'm never coming back to Europe. Like, but like now that I'm back healthy and like feeling better and like really learning a lot about myself, like I'd do it again. And I think it's really taught me a lot. And I think it'll be great to kind of come out of this and be a better player and better person as well.
Yeah, it sounds like a really cool experience. And I was going to kind of follow up there and ask you, you know, what do you miss most about being home, about being in America? But it sounds like you hit the nail on the head there about your family and things like that. And you know, I think it's really interesting, you know, playing in Europe and the fact that that you think of like basketball and soccer. I mean, it's worldwide, you know, with football. I give the NFL one go around and it's like, all right, well, now what? And you kind of move on to the next. So I'm sure that was really cool. Let's go back to the very beginning, maybe even kind of high school days, Luke. And you committed to UNC, not really knowing if you would have a full scholarship or not at the time. Yeah. Walk us through that recruiting process and ultimately, why did you choose North Carolina?
I mean, it's a long story, but I guess I'll kind of just dive into it. Really, like, just I was very lightly recruited at the beginning, kind of like freshman, sophomore year. I didn't have a ton of offers. And then sophomore year on the I played the Nike EYBL circuit, which is like AAU. And like I played up in the juniors because the team I played with, Team United, they needed another player. And like I started, was one of the better players, was second in rebounding. And like I started to get a lot more interest like throughout the games that we played. But like my team wasn't very good. We struggled. So I really didn't have a ton of interest, but I knew like in the back of my mind, like I wanted to play in the ACC. ACC, in my opinion, is the best basketball conference, and I wanted to play against the best. And actually, it's funny that both of you went to Clemson because
Luke, I was about to say I've heard this. Okay, and how close were you to coming to Clemson?
Coach Brownell was the first ACC coach to offer me a scholarship. That hit home a lot because like he put a lot of trust in me, and he recruited me himself, and he put a lot of time in. He came to a baseball game my junior year. Like he just put a lot of time in, and I really didn't take that for granted, and I still am so grateful for his trust in me and for what he did. And I mean like I said, like I'm a people person, like I'm a big family guy. Coach Brownell preached family, and I mean, it was really hard to just choose one place because I really loved Clemson. I really loved the campus. And Coach Brownell was building something really special there. They had Blossom Game. They had Gabe DeVoe. They had a lot of really good guys that were good players. And then also, like, Davidson was really, really high on my list because they were my first offer. They offered me, like, very early in my sophomore year. And they were 15 minutes from my house. Coach McKillop came to my brother's basketball games, like just really like he recruited me as well. Like they just really, those two coaches were the two coaches that recruited me the hardest and were the reason that them two, and then it ended up being Carolina and Virginia because they were both great programs. And I really like wanted to play at the highest level. And Virginia at that time was really good in ACC, obviously Carolina because the home state. And actually, my junior season of AAU, like Coach Williams would stop by and watch like maybe one game every so often. And he would call and say, Luke, like we don't have a scholarship available, but like just keep playing and you could have a chance to play in this league. And like I was like so like frustrated because like I felt like I was playing really well and he just like wasn't really kind of giving me that opportunity. And then I had a unbelievable game when he was watching, like at the end of my AU season, and he called after and was like, Luke, like, I still don't have a scholarship, but I want you to be a part of the team. Like, I've seen your growth this summer. I've watched you play 3 or 4 times. And it's big, like, for somebody who coached, like, didn't have a scholarship for, to still come and watch your games, you know, and that meant a lot to me. And it wasn't like an assistant, like, it was Coach Williams. And like, that meant a lot to me. And he said, I want you to come as a preferred walk-on. And for the first year, you would have to pay your own way. But then after that, like, we'd be able to give you a scholarship the following 3 years. We just don't have a scholarship available for you. And I was like, okay, coach, like, let me talk to my family. And like, obviously, I knew I had Clemson. I knew I had Virginia. I knew I had Davidson. Like, and they all wanted me full ride, like, really wanted me to play there. And then like in like September, October, Virginia had a 4-man commit. So Virginia was kind of like, I just didn't want to go in and compete with another guy in my position the same year. So it was really down to three. And I mean, Coach McKillop, Coach Burnell, they've been there since the beginning. And just to kind of just switch it all and go to Carolina, I was like, I just can't do that. Like, for what they've done to like recruit me and everything. And like, I want to go and play. And Coach Burnell talked about me and Blossom game playing and being the front court.
That would have been great, Luke.
Yeah, it would have been a lot more playing time early. That's for sure.
But, listen, this is all I'm going to say is Clemson basketball could have been rewritten by Luke Hancock and Luke May if they both went to Clemson.
And
I just don't
Mac,
understand.
Let's be
Lukes.
Real, Zion. And, think well, about yeah, that. Zion would have been think crazy about that.
But so I ended up, in long story short, ended up in November. Just like at the end of the day, I want to play in the NBA. That's the ultimate goal. And whether I play at Carolina or whether I don't play at Carolina, I'm going to go against the best every single day, and I'm going to get better. And if I don't play, I wasn't good enough to play in the NBA. And a lot of guys nowadays, they go to smaller schools and they play great and they do really well and they make it to the NBA. And I mean, it's not really about the college you go to. It's about like how you play and the performance you have. But for me, it was really important for me to kind of go somewhere and compete. And I wanted to play early, but I also knew like I wanted to play against the best. And going to Carolina, I knew I'd play against the best every day. Also, like going to your home school was pretty important. Both my mom and my dad went there. So, I mean, it was hard to pass up. And then thankfully, I haven't really talked to him much about it, but JP Tokoto ended up going to the draft early, which was unexpected. So I was able to get a scholarship all 4 years. So it worked out, and freshman year was a little rocky, but it worked out in the end. So
well, it definitely did, Luke. I think you obviously made the right decision. You bring up Roy Williams. Tell us a little more about your relationship with Coach, and maybe tell us something we wouldn't know. You know, to me, he seems kind of like that lovable grandpa kind of guy, right? But I know you have some good Roy stories.
Man, Coach Williams, he's meant so much to my development, not only as a player, but as a person. He talks all the time about truly caring for one another and truly, you hear about Carolina family, but like it starts with Coach Smith and then it goes down to Coach Williams. And I never met Coach Smith, but everybody says Coach Williams is like chip off the block. And I mean, he just cares about all the players. I mean, like their family. And I mean, I just went back when I was home, because obviously Drake, my youngest brother, plays football there. Bo is also a student there, and he's my next youngest brother. But I mean, I went back, and Coach Williams embraced me and like asked me how I was doing, and kept like giving me these little trinkets of kind of Danny Green played overseas and came back and played in the NBA, and just like
that's
kept me like trying to. Encouraging me and pushing me. And I mean, he doesn't have to do that. You know, I mean, I'm gone and I moved on, but I mean, he truly takes interest. And he seems like a lovable guy and everything, but like he treats, and that's another thing I like about him. He treats everybody the same, whether you're best player or the worst player, he gets on you and he really chews you out, whether it's practice, whether it's the game. I remember a couple games I was playing poorly and he would just come over to the bench, he'd get right in my face and start screaming at me. And that's like what you need. You know, it's like some people react well to that and some people don't, but I really needed that. And he should have probably did that more often. But, I mean, it's pretty special kind of the relationship I have with him. And I mean, I still am thankful. I mean, he not only developed me like in off the court, like in practice and like outside of people's eyes, but he truly would put me in games my freshman year. Like I played in the first half against Duke at home. I played in the second half in the close game against Virginia. I played at home against Clemson. Like he put me in big time games. And honestly, I'm like out there thinking like, man, like coach trusts me. Like we got All American Bryce Johnston, like who's on the bench and he's putting a freshman in. Like, I mean, I was like, what in the world? But like, I was trying to do my best because coach trusted in me and it really prepared me and showed me like coach really believes in me and he wants me to be a great player. And I think that really paved the way for my future.
Yeah, that's incredible to hear that. And just any time we get to hear kind of that, you know, coach-player relationship, it's a lot of fun. And I expected nothing less from Coach Williams. I want to talk about your playing days a little bit. And we were joking about this kind of before we started recording here, but you guys lost the championship. You were a freshman over that crazy shot by Villanova, Chris Jenkins. And then you get the chance for redemption the very next year. You have a crazy shot against Kentucky, send you guys to the Final Four, and then y'all end up winning it. Just what was that like going from losing it to winning? I mean, was it just the motivation the whole offseason? Because that's actually what happened at Clemson. You know, we lost. I happen to be a senior, but we lost in 15 and then won it in 16, and you guys kind of, you know, replicated. What was that like?
Yeah, I mean, you hit it nail on the head. Like, the motivation, like, I mean, I didn't play a single second in the national championship. I played, like, 45 seconds in the Final Four game, but I didn't play a single second. But, like, it was the most devastating loss I've ever had in my entire life just because of how much we put in. And, like, you know, like, kind of how much time and effort you put in and to get so close. And then just to lose and like the other team celebrating on the biggest stage and you're having to walk with your head down into the locker room. And we kind of made a pact as a team. And like our group chat was titled Redemption, like 2 weeks after we lost. And we weren't going to do anything but go back and win it this year. And I mean, that's kind of what we kind of kept telling each other in the preseason, like running hills, running sprints. I mean, it's just kind of, we knew in the back of our mind we had to get back and we had to win it. I talked to Kenny all the time. I felt like the year before we had a better team, but the next year we won it. Like we were just more driven, more motivated, I guess. And we kind of, we pulled it out. I mean, and a lot of players stepped up and Kenny, my classmate, and I took it for granted. The first 2 years we're in college, we go to the national championship game and I mean, we didn't realize how tough it was. And the next
it's
2 years,
expected, right? It's like, man, this is easy. We're going to do this 4 straight years.
Yeah, the next 2 years, we didn't get as lucky. But, I mean, it was an unbelievable experience. I mean, I wouldn't trade it for the world. And to have teammates and guys, like, I played one season with Marcus Page. And I just played against him, like, 3 weeks ago. And he's playing in Serbia. And, I mean, it was just, like, we – been best friends for 6-7 years, you know, and I only play with him one season. I mean, it's just kind of how like that bond is kind of created. I mean, it's pretty special. And I mean, it was just an unbelievable run we had. My
could you dive into that a little bit more, actually, that bond? And maybe it's, is it the culture at Carolina? If you're, you know, a young recruit right now looking across the country, I mean, tell us why would we go to UNC? Because what you just said, they're playing for one season with a guy. And y'all have been friends for 7 years now. I mean, that seems pretty special.
Man, I tell you what, like just like the culture that's been created, like I said, by Coach Smith first and then Coach Williams, like when you come back, like you're treated as if you're a current player. And like, I mean, I remember my freshman year, I didn't really play much. Like I had a couple games where I had maybe 4 or 6 points. But I was like maybe max. And like I'd have guys like Jawad Williams, who played in 2005, and then like Tyler Hansbrough played in 2009, just like see me quick text, say keep going, keep pushing, you know. And that's just something that's been instilled from the very like earliest. And like even guys like Rasheed Wallace, who come back and play like pickup with us in the summer, like just guys who try to teach the young guys and like I try to absorb as much as I can because those guys play in the NBA. Those guys are just there for you and for to help you, you know? And like, I mean, I only played with Marcus, like I said, 1 year, but like every time I go back every summer, like I work out with Marcus when he's there. And like, I work out with Justin Jackson. And I mean, Kobe White's birthday was the other day. And like, I texted him, like I reached out to Nas still, Nasir Little, like just because it's like almost because of what the older guys did when I was in school, I feel like it's my duty to continue to pay it forward to the younger guys who I was in school with, even if those guys are at the NBA and are at the highest level. They still, to me, are my underclassmen, you know, and I just think that's something that we truly try to preach and we try to live out. And that's kind of what I've been trying to do. And I mean, I've created friends for life that I'm very thankful for. And even guys like Deion Thompson, who's played overseas for 12, 13 years, he reaches out to me when I have good games or when I don't have good games, just because he understands like the Carolina family is just everywhere.
That is hashtag culture goals, right? Like program goals right there. That is really cool to hear. That's good
it's
stuff.
Pretty Luke. Special.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. And, you know, we talk about the off the court culture, which is excellent. Let's go back for a second. We had Boozer on. We had Carlos Boozer on a couple weeks ago, and we asked him about Duke UNC and the rivalry, and he was hyping it up. And Booze, I mean, he can hype anything up, but it was obviously believable.
There's no doubt. Was an incredible player.
Oh, man, wasn't he?
Incredible.
Oh, man.
And like,
just a monster.
I saw like some highlights of him in college, but I just remember him in the NBA, like for the Bulls, and just that mid-range was unstoppable.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, he's just an unbelievable player. I can't even imagine like some of the numbers he put up in college. I mean, it's just probably insane. And
well, you talk about numbers, Luke. Okay, hold up now. February 20th, 2019, you gave Duke 30 and 15. I'm not sure Boozer ever
gave. He starts laughing. He knows. As soon as you say the date, he knows what time it is.
Right. Mac, yeah, I'm not sure Boozer gave.
I'm sure Boozer had.
I don't know if he gave him 30 and 15.
25 and 12 like, every other night. I mean, Carlos Boozer is an incredible player.
He was. You talk about being an in-state guy. Like, what did that Duke-UNC rivalry mean to you?
Man, I mean, just growing up, going to games. I was at the game when Marvin Williams hit the game winner in the Smith Center. I was at the game where Austin Rivers hit the game winner.
Oh, really?
Like over Tyler Zeller. Like, I've been to so many Duke-UNC games, and that goes back to kind of my parents, you know? Like, they've been fans since they were in school, and they have been – so spoiled to me. I mean, I've been to so many games as a young kid when, like, I mean, I can tell you how many teammates of mine didn't go to a game till they played in school, you know, and that's just kind of how spoiled myself and my brothers are. But I'm just very thankful for that opportunity and to be able to see like so much rivalry early in my childhood and then to be able to live it out. And like, even like at Duke, my freshman year, I didn't even play, but I mean, that just environment was just incredible. And I mean, just the first time to be in Cameron, I mean, I still remember like it was yesterday, like the crazies going wild. And I mean, when we went on a little run, like they'd get a little quiet, but then Duke would make one shot. And I mean, it's back to crazy again. I mean, it's just
what
I miss it a ton. And I mean, it's something that you can't have and you can't replicate anywhere else. But I mean, it's just unbelievable feeling.
What is the craziest thing the crazies ever said to you?
PG, keep it PG.
Honestly, like I didn't really get too much just because I mean, I didn't really kind of listen to them very much, but they kept like the big thing was walk on for them. And, like,
oh,
was, like,
come on, crazies.
That was pretty big just because like I came as a walk on and also like my sophomore year, I played at home and Brandon Ingram dunked on me. So like that was big. Like they were just kind of like they had a picture of that. So but I mean it wasn't too bad. Like
they're ruthless. They're
usually like they're a lot worse to like some of the other guys. Thankfully they weren't too bad to me. So that was good.
I love that. What memory stands out more, Luke, that 30-15 game or that game-winning shot over Kentucky? Might be a silly question.
Man, that's tough. I'd probably obviously
have to say the game-winning shot just because of the kind of circumstance. But, I mean, every time you play well against Duke, I mean, you'll remember that the rest of your life. So, I mean, both are very important memories I had. But, I mean, obviously the greatest memory I had was winning the championship. And I mean, my shot, I mean, everybody asked me the greatest moment in my Carolina history, and everybody thinks the shot. I mean, the shot would have meant nothing if we go and lose to Oregon or if we go and lose to Gonzaga. I just think, like, my greatest moment in Carolina history, in my Carolina career, was definitely winning it in Phoenix. I mean, that was just by far the greatest feeling I've ever had in basketball to this point.
Mac, I feel like I need to throw it to you so that you can ask him a little football with his brother.
It's that time.
Let's talk about it, Mac. Let's talk football.
For those who don't know, Luke's brother is going to be the heir apparent. I'm going to go ahead and say that to Mr. Sam Howell. I think he's that good. I think your brother's going to be just an absolute stud, a five-star coming in for really a historic class that UNC just signed. Break down his game for us a little bit right here. Give me some inside brother analysis. You can't get this anywhere else but on this podcast. Let me see what's your brother do well.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, like his feel, like, just like, you know, like, as a quarterback, you just like, some guys got it and some guys don't. Like, you just got to have that feel, like feeling the pressure, feeling when guys are open, feeling when you got to get the ball out. I mean, you just got to have that feel. And I've watched Drake for the past 5-6 years play the quarterback position. And I mean, he's got that feel. He's got the size. He's got the arm strength. His biggest thing, though, is he's very smart and he's very accurate. And that's two things that you need to be as a quarterback. I mean, in the past two seasons in high school, his junior and senior year, sophomore year, because he didn't play his senior year, but like, he had like some crazy, like 60 touchdowns and like maybe like 5 interceptions. I mean, and like, some of the teams they play aren't great, but like, that conference Myers Park's in, like, is a really good conference. They got Butler, they got Independence. They play some not so great teams, but they also play some really good powerhouse. They played Mile Creek twice. So, I mean, it's just Charlotte football, as you know, is pretty big time no matter what team you play against. And he had a great career there. And I think Coach Brown's turning things around at Carolina. And I think Sam's had an unbelievable career so far. And hopefully he has another great year so he can get on out of there and let Drake hopefully, I mean, they got a lot of great quarterbacks in there, and he's still got to work his butt off and kind of show them why he needs to be the guy. And like, you know, Mac, like, I mean, every other position, you got 2-3 guys who play that spot, but a quarterback is one guy. You get all the hate if you win or you lose, and you get all the praise if you win. So I mean, it's a lot of pressure, but I think Drake's ready, and he just got to work hard and learn and try to be the best he can be. But I mean, he's just super accurate, very athletic, faster, probably the fastest brother in the family, and probably the one who
was
jumps
that tough for you to say, Luke.
Yeah,
it was really hard for me to say. Yeah, it's really hard. But
I love it, man. That's that inside access that we bring to you on this pod. And I think that Drake is going to be a fantastic quarterback. Cannot wait to cover him on ESPN and the ACC network. I think he's going to be a stud. I want to ask you one more little inside question. You can defer this or play around it if you want, but why did he decommit from Alabama? What was behind that and getting him to stay at North Carolina?
I mean, it was tough. He obviously, I mean, he said since he was in sixth grade, Coach Saban's going to offer me a scholarship and I'm going to Alabama. And like, he really believed that, and he really worked his butt off, and he made it happen. And as he continued to play and as he continued to excel, Alabama, and I mean, it's Alabama, you know, and they're always going to try to get the best guys. And they didn't have a quarterback the year before Drake. And with Tua probably leaving early, they needed a guy, and they didn't really know if Mac Jones would be Mac Jones. And I mean, he had an unbelievable year. So, I mean, it kind of worked out for him, but I mean, they signed Bryce Young away from USC, which was a huge commit for them because Bryce Young was number one guy in class, really great quarterback. And with him coming in, I mean, it was probably a smart choice for Coach Saban because they didn't know how well Mac Jones would be. And they needed a guy who they knew was going to be able to
play and was going to be a young guy. But, I mean, it kind of hurt Drake just because that's a really good quarterback in the year right in front of him, you know. And, I mean, a guy who's probably going to get a lot of time, especially in the spring once Mac's gone. And I just think that he felt like maybe trying to do something at Carolina and with them kind of building the program and staying at home and kind of it'd be a little bit sweeter to do something at Carolina than to go to Alabama and maybe do something as a junior or senior, you know. And I mean, you got to compete everywhere, but just doing it at home would be a little bit sweeter to Drake. And I mean, you might maybe in 3 or 4 years, you can ask him on maybe an ACC network interview.
That's if, right.
If you guys are wanting to interview Drake, hopefully you are.
I'm sure we will.
No doubt.
But he can answer it a lot better. But I think Carolina's a good place, and I think he'll have a great opportunity to play. And I think he could have excelled at Alabama too. But I just think maybe for him, it might have been a little bit more about really trying to create something special at Carolina. So.
I love it. I love it. That was a huge thing that Coach Mack Brown wanted to do when he got that job. We have to keep the great players in this state. I think it was a great decision by your brother. And like you said, I mean, Carolina is on to something in football. I think they're going to have a tremendous, tremendous season this year.
I mean, everybody's coming at Clemson. I mean, Clemson's been
on top
so long.
You don't know this, but the biggest North Carolina football homer out there is Eric McLean. He loves UNC football. Yes. He likes those football teams that can put up 60 points in a game. That's
all
Max,
about
that's
it.
Max football.
Defense is for losers, let me tell you.
Look, I mean, we all agree. Let's talk about, speaking of Carolina, this year's team. Dealing it with this crazy season. I mean, we were all student athletes. I can't even imagine being a student athlete in COVID. And I mean, you're still an athlete in COVID, so you're dealing with it every day. What are your thoughts on this year's team? What do you think they can accomplish? And I mean, can you even, you know, imagine what it would be like trying to go through all this stuff? I'm sure you can with what you're doing right now.
Yeah. I mean, we fly commercial and all that. So, I mean, I'm sure it's maybe a little bit easier at some of the bigger programs who fly charter and things like that. But even I've talked to Eric Hoots, our kind of operations guy. And like, he even said, like, they've had to bus more and they've had to do a little bit more things because of like the worry about just kind of contracting something or like, just like keeping it more in-house closer together. And like some of the meals have been a lot more difficult to kind of set up. So, I mean, it's been a struggle and, I mean, I can't even imagine like games getting canceled. I mean, we've been fortunate to only have one game canceled over here in Europe, but like they've had 4 or 5 games canceled. They've had everybody got the virus before the season started. So, I mean, that's good that nobody's had the virus during the season. But just like the fact that every game, like you have to worry about getting a COVID test. You have to worry about after the game the next morning, getting a second COVID test to make sure like after the game you don't kind of contract anything. That's just a lot of things to kind of check off the box and like a lot more added pressure along with the online schooling and like all the other responsibilities that a student athlete has. So, I mean, it's a lot and I mean, I can't even imagine. And I know that I think football and basketball, they get like kind of like a grace year where like you can come back.
Yeah, that's everyone.
So, I mean, that's at least nice to kind of have that. But, I mean, still, like, to kind of go out there and try to perform at your best against really good teams with really good players is really hard when you're also having to think about your well-being and the well-being of the people you really care about in your team as well. So, I mean, that's what I've kind of struggled with, too, is just I'm a really open guy. I love hanging out with people. I love, like, meeting new people, like, going to eat with guys on the team and like just with COVID, I'm just a little bit more hesitant to do that just because I just don't want to. And thankfully, I haven't gotten a virus, so I've been very fortunate. But I'm just scared and just don't really want to just put myself in harm's way. And I can feel kind of how they do as well. So that's been just something that I can't even imagine. Like you said, kind of being in that stance of a student athlete.
Yeah, it has been a different world, to say the least. You have experienced it from afar. These student athletes, obviously, dealing with it right here and there. Luke, this was so much fun, man. Thank you for joining the podcast. I'm sure our North Carolina listeners are going to love it, but all teams as well, man. You were tremendous. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, guys. I really appreciate it. Thank you for the questions. Hopefully, I'm sure I kind of answered too much and too much detail.
No, not at all.
I apologize for that, but it's just sometimes a little bit tough just kind of hanging out in here. We have practice 4 or 5 hours a day, and then just kind of do some cooking and kind of just hang out. So it's always nice to kind of talk about some ball and get some people who love sports and love Carolina a little bit like I do.
Come on, that's right. That'll do it for our Traeger Grills guest of the week. Guys, do yourself a favor. Go buy a Traeger grill. We talked about it before our interview. It's going to be the best decision of your life. And once you do, download their app or go find them on social media at Traeger Grills on Instagram, on Twitter. They're always posting great recipes, great ideas for inspiration. Kelly, I truly find myself just scrolling through the app, scrolling through Instagram, just dreaming of what I'm going to grill up next. How about Luke? I mean, that was so much fun. I really enjoyed our time with him.
He was excellent. There's no doubt about it. And if we were doing this pod while he was playing, Mac, he would have been on our ACC of the week at some point.
What
I would
a
think.
Segue
maybe.
By the champ.
Thank
Come
Thank
on,
you.
KG. Well, speaking of ACC
I do what
of
I can.
The week. Yeah, that's right. Talk to me about your ACC of the week, brought to you by our great friends over at Sunshine. Let's start with our athlete.
Mac, it is an honor to talk about this athlete. In my ACC of the week for
Come
my
on.
A
I love
athlete
it.
is Nick Honor from Clemson. Now, technically, the Syracuse game, I don't think it falls into our week, but he did have 15 points in that game when they beat Syracuse last Saturday. Now, this past Friday, he had 12 points in the win over Georgia Tech, 3 assists. He shot the ball really well, but that's not really the point. He made the game-winning shot with less than a second to go, banked in a three. As the clock ticked down, it was an epic shot. I was watching it live. My first thought was, oh my gosh, Jose Alvarado missed 2 free throws in a row.
Right.
That was truly shocking.
Right.
But Clemson had to get the ball off a miss, didn't have a timeout, put the ball in Nick Honor's hands. He pulls up from way beyond the arc and he banks it in. I'm sure he meant to bank it. We're just going to go with that. But one of the most exciting shots of the ACC season so far. And so my athlete of the week is Nick Honor from Clemson.
It was one of those plays where you're like, no, 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 what are you doing?
Exactly.
Yes, great shot. I knew you were going to make it. That's kind of the room that I was in with my in-laws and my wife. That's kind of what we were all doing watching that game. Great shot. My athlete, I'm going with a bunch of athletes. How about FSU's entire men's team. I mean, these guys, when they play at home, it is unbelievable. But when they come off of a COVID pause, look out. It better be the daggum Harlem Globetrotters, the LA Lakers, because nobody has a chance. Listen, these guys just beat number 7 Virginia by 21 points. Earlier this season, when they came off another COVID pause, they just casually put up triple digits, 105 points, beating NC State by 32. These guys are disciplined. They understand when they have these breaks, these pauses, they have to mentally lock in and get those mental reps and, you know, practice when you can, how you can. And they've showed some real resiliency. So I'm going with FSU.
Excellent choice there, Mac. My coach of the week, as we move on to the C, the first C in ACC of the week, is Brooke Wyckoff at Florida State. Now, she is actually the interim head coach for the Florida State women. Sue Simrell, who is a legend, took the year off to care for her mother who's been battling cancer. So Brooke Wyckoff, who played at Florida State and has been Sue Simrell's right-hand woman for a very long time, has taken over. So imagine this is your first year as a head coach. You have to go from the players see you as an assistant to now the players see you as a head coach. Plus you're dealing with a COVID offseason. Plus Florida State lost their 3 best players from last year and they all graduated. So you're dealing with a bunch here if you're Brooke Wyckoff. And this past week, Florida State beat Syracuse on Thursday, which was a huge win for them. And then they beat Miami on Sunday. So 2 big wins for the Seminoles and the Syracuse win especially because now they have a chance to catch Syracuse in the ACC standings. So huge week for Brooke Wyckoff. I think she's done an excellent job in a season where it would be very difficult to be an interim head coach. So she is my coach of the week.
Come on. I'm staying on the women's side as well for my coach of the week. How about Jen Hoover and your Wake Forest Demon Deacons? Three straight wins. They're on the brink of making the tournament since 1988. That was the last time that they made it there. And guess what? Kelly told you guys this Tuesday, but Jen Hoover was the one leading the way. So it makes sense that now she is leading them back. Obviously, they're kind of one of those bubblicious teams, but hopefully Jen and the Demon Deacons will make it back. She is my coach of the week.
I'm feeling very good about their chances. It's not set in stone yet. It's not set in stone, of course. But I'm feeling good. Their net rating's good. They got a lot of quad ones, quad twos. You know all that stuff, Mac. All right. My last C here in my ACC of the week is my craziness. And I'm going to give you a little baseball here, Mac. We're going to talk more baseball.
Come on.
I know. We're going to talk more baseball as we get into baseball season. We'll have some baseball guests on for you guys because the ACC is very good at baseball. My craziness, 7 ACC baseball teams are in D1 baseball's preseason top 25. The season starts this weekend. 7. Louisville's 5, NC State 13, Georgia Tech 15, Virginia 16, Wake Forest 17, Miami 21, and Florida State 24. 7 of the top 25. That is pretty good, Mac.
It is. And what's crazy to think about, North Carolina, not on that list, normally always really good. Clemson, Virginia. So the ACC might be in store for an unbelievable year. Hopefully everything keeps going smoothly. We get to play that. I can't imagine not having played my sport in over a year and now coming back for that. So, you know, prayers up that we just keep progressing and moving forward and those guys get to play. My craziness, this is a little absurd. And the great Brian Ives, who just had a baby, by the way. So congrats to the Ives family and Caroline, his wife. He tweeted this out. The lowest percentage of home games by a major conference team this season at 32% of their games that have been played at home is UNC. I mean, I cannot imagine playing 70% of the games that I play on the road. I mean, that sounds, you're already in the best conference historically, you know, maybe not this year, in the ACC, and now you're going on the road, not every other game, every game. It's just like crazy. And then maybe you get a home game and then it gets canceled. So it's nuts that that's what they've had to deal with. It's extremely tough. I feel for them, but that's the environment that we're in. UNC is on the bubble. I feel confident about them making the tournament, but man, what a tough, do you think that matters, Kelly? Like this committee, are they going to look at that and be like, yeah, surely these guys are in, come on.
Well, they should. And, you know, part of the net ranking or the net rating is the home games and away games are measured differently. So if you lose on the road to a team that's ranked 1 through 75, that's still a quad one loss. So North Carolina doesn't have a lot of bad losses, but they haven't really been able to rack up the wins that you would normally see in the non-conference because they're playing a lot of home games. And it's just unfair to the team, right? I mean, the way you put it, Mac, you say, all right, 32% of your games have been at home. But that means 68% of your games have not been.
Right.
And we know how difficult traveling is these days, too, and how much anxiety comes with that. So that is a pretty crazy stat. And that's why UNC is playing a team like Northeastern at home. And let's just hope they can get some more games and we don't have as many games postponed. Because we did see the news that Louisville is now back on a pause. So that means UNC is actually, I believe they're going to play Pittsburgh this weekend is the plan. So
hopefully, right.
Hopefully. We'll see. Knock on wood with that.
Yeah. And what my crazy was going to be before you get to our great friends at Sunshine here, Kelly, my crazy was going to be that UNC tweeted out and said, hey, we need a game. I said, okay, we will play. Just let me know. We got you. We got our five together. I never heard back. So I don't know if they're scared. You know, you don't want to lose that game. I understand, but I had a bunch of shooters surrounding me and, you know, UNC, come on, answer the call.
We would have looked like Virginia Tech. You're Keve Aluma, and then you got all these shooters.
Wow.
Around you.
I don't know
that would have been the plan.
But
I just insulted Keve Aluma. My apologies, Keve. Our ACC of the week today brought to you by Sunshine Beverages. Guys, anytime I've had a busy morning and I still have a long day ahead of me, I want an easy, delicious boost of energy, but I don't want to overload on caffeine. Anyone can do that, but I want a can of Sunshine. Let me tell you, the sparkling energy waters, they are so light and they taste so good. Zero sugar, zero calories, and they come in great flavors like citrus lime, Lotus Pear, and my personal favorite, the pomegranate acai. So forget the boost and crash cycle. You want that feel-good energy. Get sunshine today at your local Publix, QT, or even better, go online at drinkthesunshine.com. Use our code ACC10 at checkout to save 10% on your order. You're going to want to go do that now. Order it now, especially if you're somewhere where you're snowed in right now, Mac.
That's right.
You can't really get out. Just order online at drinkthesunshine.com.
Yeah, and you know, maybe they have a partnership with Amazon where they're dropping it off with a drone. You know, who knows? I know the streets are iced over. You might have a drone drop off some sunshine there. Who knows? Guys, thank you for listening to this episode of Gramlich and Mac Lane, brought to you by our great friends over at Traeger Grills. Thank you, Luke, for coming on. It was just great insight in a North Carolina player historically one of the best and biggest impact of all time. Guys, if you haven't already, go over to iTunes, subscribe to the podcast, drop us a little 5-star rating, leave us a review. It'd be great to hear from you guys. But until next time, we'll see y'all.